Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we do have, we know who's in control of this day. We know who's in charge of the governments. We know who's in charge of the world and the creation. We know who is in charge of our everlasting life. It's not up to us, Lord. Once we have made that choice, Jesus Christ is our Savior. It is not up to us to keep our security of our salvation. And we thank you for that, Lord. And this morning I pray that you would just bless the reading of your word, the teaching of your word, and the Holy Spirit would take control and speak to all of our hearts. Speak through me this day and use me as your vessel, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. John chapter 10 this morning is where we began last week. We're talking about the titles of Jesus Christ in this quarter and how they relate to the ministry and work of Jesus Christ while he was on this earth. They speak of Jesus Christ, every title that Jesus Christ is given in the Scriptures, and they're numerous. And we've looked at a few of those as we've progressed slowly through this study, and we're not going to finish it this quarter. We'll come back in a few quarters and continue it again. But as we began last week to talk about the door, Jesus Christ said and called himself, he titled himself the door. And we looked last week at the door of hope. We find in the book of Hosea the door of hope. Today we come to another door that Christ typifies and pictures Jesus Christ. But to understand what Jesus is talking about as the door, go back with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 1, we bring up the discourse of the Good Shepherd. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In verses 7 and verses 10, Jesus Christ calls himself the door. Not a door, but the door. As we have many doors, as we looked at last week, we have many doors that enter into this sanctuary. There's only one door that enters into eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's not a door of Buddha, and there's not a door of Muhammad, and there's not a door of Joseph Smith, and there's not a door of whatever. You put Confucius, or you put a name on these doors, you can't enter into the body of Christ through those doors. You can only enter to the body of Christ through the door of Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the door. So as we looked at last week, the door of hope, and Jesus is our hope of eternal life, we see that in John chapter 10, here in verses 1 through 9, Jesus is the door of the sheepfold. This is how the sheep, children of God, the believers in God, this is how the sheep enter into the sheepfold, through the door. So this is how we gain entrance into the sheepfold or into the body of Christ. They are safe, the sheep are safe in the sheepfold because the shepherd protects the sheep. And then the sheep are satisfied inside the sheepfold. The shepherd provides for their means. So let's look today, let's go a little bit further back in our Bibles to the book of Genesis and look at a door. In Genesis chapter number 6, there is a door here that pictures Jesus Christ as well and some of his attributes. Genesis chapter 6, let's begin in verse 5. Of course, this is talking about Noah and the flood. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits, and a window shalt thou make it into the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is on the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shalt thou come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah here, of course, all of mankind is gone, and all of their thoughts are evil continually. God is going to destroy the earth and destroy all of mankind, but Noah's found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he's told to prepare this ark. Again, it's never rained before. It has never rained before this day. And the floodwaters are going to break up from underneath, and then it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And God is explaining all this to Noah, and it's sort of probably hard for him to comprehend what God is talking about, but he obeys God. He believes God, and he obeys God. And God doesn't leave it to Noah's imagination to what this ark should look like and how to fashion it. He gives him specific instructions. And he says to fashion it after this way. I believe it's in verse 15. He says, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. He tells him how to specifically make this ark and even how big to make it. He tells him what kind of wood to make it out of. But notice the dimensions that are given here. It's not a study of the flood and of the ark and of Noah, but just look real quickly with me at a few things. In verse 15, this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Now a cubit, there's difference of opinion on how big a cubit is, but most people agree it's from, if you bend your elbow, it's from the tip of your finger, the tallest finger, to the tip of your elbow. And the general rule of thumb is 18 inches is a cubit. That's the general rule of a cubit in the Old Testament. So a cubit is 18 inches, so we do some simple math. It is 450 feet long is this ark. Now my mind cannot comprehend feet in that great a scale, so I have to put it in yards. Helps me comprehend it in my mind. So 450 feet is 150 yards. So if anybody knows how long a football field is and never seen a regulation football field, it's a football field and a half. That's how long the ark was. And it's made completely out of gopher wood. The breadth, it says in verse 15, says, and the breadth of it is 50 cubits. The breadth is the width. And I was down here Friday with my tape measure trying to get everybody a picture of how wide this ark was. So from not this door, but the outside door of the front of the church all the way to the wall where the baptistry is 75 feet. And that is 50 cubits. So the outside door to the baptistry wall is how wide the ark was. That's its breadth. 75 feet or 25 yards. And the height is 30 cubits, which is 45 feet or 15 yards. Now, an average height of a multi-story building is 10 feet per floor. So 45 feet is a four-story building and a half of another building. That's how tall the ark was. That helps me to comprehend how large this ark was. But notice with me in verse 16, a window shalt thou make it to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Are there any dimensions given of how big the door is? Does it tell us how big to build the door? Does God even tell Noah to build or make the door? Does it tell us that in verse 16? What does it tell us about the door? Shalt thou set it in the side thereof? He's not told to build it. He's not told to make it. He's not told how big to build it. It's a door of heavenly design. God has designed this door because this door is a picture of Jesus Christ. If we put dimensions on this door, we would be limiting how big the door of Jesus Christ is. And the door of Jesus Christ is big enough for all to enter in. It's tall enough, it's wide enough for all of mankind to enter into the ark. So there's no dimensions given of the ark's door because it is a picture of Jesus Christ. And you'll see that, I pray, as we finish this lesson today. Now the ark's size is enormous. But nautical shipbuilders, even today, still study the building of the ark, because it was the exact dimensions that were required to withstand the waters of the flood. And it was seaworthy. And people that study nautical engineering say it was a marvel of a design because it was exactly what was needed to survive those type of conditions. Interesting enough, in the studies of this week, the size of the ark and the building of the ark was not exceeded in size until 1884. We did not build a ship in our day that exceeded the size of the ark until 1884. That was quite a feat that God had Noah do. But see, God doesn't tell us how big the door is, because the door pictures Jesus Christ. And we couldn't put a limit on Jesus. He is big enough for all to enter in. So Noah is told to set it in the side. It's already designed. It's a heavenly designed door. This door is big enough and wide enough to enter in. Jesus, though, was not made or created, was he? Go back with me to John chapter 1. Let us see this. I know this is something everybody's heard before, but let's look at it again in John chapter 1. Notice with me in verse 1. It says, in the beginning... Oh, that's the wrong verse. Yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have to understand who this Word is. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, for all men through him might believe, not through John, but through the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's beginning did not happen in Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapter 2. When we come into the season that we celebrate the birth of Christ, that was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. He did not become God because He lived a righteous life. He is God. And His existence predated His birth of the flesh. So John shows us that Jesus was not created, and we've looked at that in other studies. Jesus was not created. He pre-existed the world. He was with the Father. He is eternal. He is God. So when we go back to Genesis and we see the door, it could not have put in Genesis, Noah create the door, Noah make the door, Noah build the door of this size or this stature, because it pictures Jesus Christ. Go back to Genesis with me to Genesis chapter 7. Let's just walk through this story of the ark. And let's look and see Jesus. Genesis chapter 7, look with me in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, and the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, and the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the floods of water was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Notice back with me in verse 1 of chapter 7, the Lord said unto Noah, Come. He didn't say go, he says come. I want you to come into the ark. Now picture with me, please, that the platform here, this is the door of the ark. For me to say, come, as the Lord, come into the ark, I have to be in the ark. And I'm saying, come into the ark. I can't be out of the ark and say, come into the ark, can I? I would say, go into the ark. But God says, come into the ark. I'm in the ark as God. I'm in the ark, Noah. Come into the ark. It's an invitation for Noah and his families to come into the ark with God. He doesn't force them. He just offers an invitation to them, says, come into the ark with me. God could not have been outside of the ark to say, come. He has to say, come, while He's inside the ark. And Noah and his family had to make a choice. It says in Matthew 11, verse 28, Come unto me. Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, an invitation by God, because Jesus Christ is God, He's saying, Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And again, in Revelation 22, 17, the Word of God says, And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, there's that whosoever will we talked about last week. That's anybody. You can put your name there. Any person that's ever lived or ever will live can put their name there. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's an invitation. Jesus Christ is not commanding us to believe in Him. He is telling us the truth, and the record is there for us to make a decision to come to Christ or to leave Christ and reject Him. So as Noah and his family are contemplating, God is saying, come into the ark. They have a decision to make. And they make the decision in verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark. They made the choice to go into the ark with God. Now pick it up with me in verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 9. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days, with the waters of the flood were upon the earth, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And in the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind and every fowl after his kind and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Well, that's a good study, the breath of life. And they went in, and went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. Notice the last phrase of verse 16. And the Lord shut him in. Amen. Noah can't close the door to the ark. Mankind cannot say, the door's closed to heaven, you can't enter. Mankind can't look across the sea of humanity and say, sorry, you can't enter in, and sorry, you can't enter in, and sorry, you can't enter in. God makes that decision. God shuts the door when He says the time is finished. And He shuts the door here on Noah and the family inside the ark. And who is in the ark with Noah and his family? God. The Lord shuts the door. Noah and his family have made the decision to enter in to the ark with God. They are inside the ark. They're safe from the judgment of God upon the earth. Because God is going to rain His judgment upon sin upon the earth and destroy it. God announced judgment. If we went back to chapter 6 and we noticed, God announced His judgment upon the sin of mankind, but immediately He pronounced a way to escape that judgment. Noah didn't just spend his time building the ark. He also preached. Some say for 100 years, some say for 120 years. For a number of years, Noah preached as he worked. And the only souls he saw come to Christ were his sons and their wives and his wife, because those are the ones that were allowed to enter the ark. But he was busy about the Lord's work. So as soon as God announced this judgment, He announced a way of escape. And it's not the ark. It's not the ark. Don't get your mind focused on this boat saved them from the flood. This boat saved them from the judgment of God. No, this boat is God saving mankind from the judgment of the world. And the way to escape the judgment of the world is to enter by the door of heavenly design. And that's Jesus Christ. There's coming a day this world is going to be judged. I think it's sooner than we might realize. Are we ready? You know, if the ark had gone down in the flood, it would have carried God down with it. There was no way that ark was going to sink. No way. Because God's presence protected and guaranteed their safety. He was with His children. Notice with me again, verse 16 of chapter 7, where it says, and the Lord shut him in. It was not possible for Noah to open the door of the ark to help those who had rejected the preaching of God's word. Hey, you can imagine, just picture all the people that are running to the ark that have ridiculed Noah and his family for years. And like, it's going to rain. We don't even know what rain is. And you're talking about water falling from heaven. Noah, you're building an ark and this boat. And God's told you, say, and you're building this boat. There's not even any water around here. What are you doing? You're just crazy, Noah. They've ridiculed him for years and years and years. And then the rain starts. And then the flood waters start breaking up from the deep. And people start scrambling. Noah was right. Oh my, I'm going to die. My family's going to die. At least take my baby boy or my baby girl. Take my child. Noah, help us. Wouldn't we want to open the door to help people? God shut the door. He would not allow those that had rejected Him and the invitation to enter into the ark once they had rejected Him. It was not possible for Noah as a human being to open that door. It was not possible for the door to open during the violence of the storm. Can you imagine how violent? Anybody ever been to sea in a major storm? A few of you. I was out in the Persian Gulf many years ago with the U.S. Navy as a volunteer. And we were out in a storm of the century, they called it. And we were out in a little 150-foot boat, wooden boat, out there in the middle of the minefields of Iran and Iraq, the Iranian and Iraqi war. And we're out in the middle of this minefield because our job was to go find the mines so they wouldn't detonate and destroy all the oil tankers and all the other naval ships that were out there. So three of our ships would go out in the middle of the minefield looking for these mines. And here we are in the middle of the minefield and the storm raises up, the storm of the century. And I tell you, it was a storm. When we were on top of that, my position, I was near the higher parts of the ship inside. And we could sit, and it was about as big from this end of this pew, about the end of this pew, and we would be on our stools watching the sonar and the fathometers and all charting all the ship's passage through the minefield. And we'd be over here on a stool with no wheels on it, just a stool. And when the storm would hit, we'd slide all the way to the other wall. And it hit again. We'd slide all the way back. You know, we were immature. We were young. We thought it was the greatest time ever. But then we look back on it, and we went outside and took pictures of the storm of the century. We're outside taking pictures of the storm. You look back, that was a storm. We were recording 45-degree rolls in the ship. 45-degree roll is pretty good, Brother Parker, isn't it? 45-degree roll, you're almost all the way over. It was a storm. No, the doors could not have come open during the violence of this storm. Why? Because God shut it. And nobody can open that door but God Himself. So they were safe. They were in the sheepfold. They were safe from the storms. It was not possible for this door to fail. Because the door that was of heavenly design is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you enter into the door, you are eternally secure. Amen. There is no way that you can fall out of the door. There was no way you can open the door and get out yourself. You are in the sheepfold. And today, people will tell you you can get your salvation and you can lose your salvation in a moment's time. And then you got to get saved again. And then you'll lose it again. And you do something bad and you'll lose it again. Well, how many times do you have to get it? If you earnestly trusted Jesus Christ with all your heart and not your mind, you have eternal security because you've entered into the door. Notice with me in verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. I love that verse because people say it was just a localized flood. No. It says, were under the whole heaven were covered. Now Mount Everest was covered. Mount McKinley was covered. Why do you find seashells on the top of these mountain peaks? It was the flood. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. and every man, all whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. They died. How many died? All that were not in the ark died. Well, I don't, my generations don't go back to Ham or Shem or Japheth. Sorry, they do. You either go back to the family of Ham or the family of Shem or the family of Japheth. And we all come from the family of Noah. You can't, I don't believe that. That's what my Bible says. They all died. If you weren't in the ark, you died. And every living substance was destroyed which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of the heaven and that were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive. That means Noah and his family. And they that were with him in the ark. That's it. That's all that survived this flood. Why? Because they entered through the door into the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. We could keep reading. We don't for sake of time. If we read all the way through chapter 8 through verse 16, we would see, let's pick it up in verse 13 of chapter 8. And it came to pass in the 600th first year, when did they enter the ark? In verse 6 of chapter 7, Noah was 600 years old when the floods of the water were upon the earth. And in chapter 8, verse 13, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Does it say he opened the door? Does it say he opened the door, class? No, he opened the windows. In the second month, on the seventh day, on the second month, on the seventh and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Again, if I was inside the ark, could say go. If I was outside of the ark and looking at Noah, I could say go, but it's more emphatic when he says inside the ark, and he says, go, thou and thy wife and thy children. But it doesn't tell us that Noah opened the door, does it? Because God shut it. So only God could open that door. So it says, while Noah and his family were on the ark, there was work to be done on this ark. There were all kinds of animals on the ark. Two of every kind and then of the clean beasts, seven of every kind. There were a lot of animals to take care of. There was maintenance to be done. Yes, they were safe from the flood. Yes, they were safe from the judgment of sin. But they had a work to do. They had animals to take care of and to feed. They were on the ark for a little over a year. A little over a year and a month. Or a year and 10 days, I believe is what most people say. They were on the ark for at least a year. And in this year's time, they could not leave the ark until God opened the door. And He told them to go. Even though the waters had stopped. And the floods had stopped and the earth was drying. God would not allow them to leave until it was His time for them to leave. And until God opened this door, they had a work to continue to do. Just as He tells us in Luke chapter 19. I've got to close. Luke chapter 19, look with me at one verse. Luke 19, 13. Just as we have a work to do. Jesus Christ tells us in Luke 19:13, and He called His 10 servants. Of course, this is the parable of the 10 pounds. But Christ is teaching it for a purpose. And He called His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. We have a work to do. If we've entered through the door of the ark and we are now in the sheepfold or in the ark of God, we are protected from the judgment of sin and from the dangers of the world around us. Now, I'm not saying we're not capable of being harmed or hurt from the world today, but we are safe through the eyes of Christ. And we have a work to do. We are to occupy till He comes. Until the Father tells His Son, go get your bride. We have a work to do. Until God opened the door of the ark and allowed Noah and his family to depart, they were working. Are we? Lord, You've showed me a lot of things through this study already. I pray that You would continue to teach us through this word about Yourself. And Holy Spirit, I pray that I know it's one of Your responsibilities, Your primary responsibilities, to teach us, God's children, about Jesus Christ. I pray that You would help us through this study to teach us more and more and more about Jesus, our Savior. Today, as we've looked at the door of heavenly design, help us, dear Lord, to keep our eyes as every time that we touch a door, go in or out of a door, let us think of Jesus Christ and how secure and safe we are inside. And if there's a person here that has never entered the door of Jesus Christ and entered and allowed Jesus Christ to come into their heart to save them from their sin, as our pastor preaches in the next hour, I pray they would come to this altar and ask someone to help them to be saved. We love You and thank You, and bless our pastor in the next hour. In Jesus' name, amen.